Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Hey there, my name is Bree.
And I'm Suze.
We're the hosts of Crime and Spirits, a true crime and cocktail podcast. Do you love spooky stories and all things true crime?
How about themed cocktails? Do you love those too?
Well, that's perfect, because so do we.
Yeah, in fact, we love them so much, we made an entire podcast all about it.
Every week, we bring you a new episode that covers a different case or topic of interest. But first, we'll need drinks.
Don't you worry, we've got you covered there. Every week, we'll teach you how to make a handcrafted cocktail that ties into the theme or topic in some way.
So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much every other platform available.
New episodes roll out every Sunday.
So buckle up.
And sip tight.
We can't wait to talk some true crime with you. Bye.
During a dark and desolate winter over, British behavioural scientist Drew Fairfield has been found murdered. Your job is to solve the crime. To do this, you need to immerse yourself in the victim's diaries, interviews, and secret recordings alongside DCI Tessa McAllister, as she leads the investigation to uncover the truth about Drew's death. There are only 16 people left on the base, and the murderer must be one of them. Establish motive, opportunity, and alibi for each of the suspects and figure out who killed Drew. Head to coldtapes.com where you can sign up and charge your suspect. Correctly identify the murderer and you'll be entered into a draw to win the prestigious title of Super Sleuth of the Year at CrimeCon London and a £10,000 reward. Over 18s and residents of Great Britain only. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Well, Declan, what story do you have to tell us about today?
Today, I'm going to be talking. It'd be nice if I get my words right. today, I'm going to be talking about Mark Middleton.
I don't know that name.
It's so fucking strange.
Okay.
Super strange.
Well, that's good because I thought maybe we had doubled up on a topic because I'm going to be talking about a guy and I thought, uh-oh. But,
This is just a warning off the bat. This is slightly conspiratorial, my story. So,
okay. Maybe we did double up on topics. Is yours brutal?
Mine.
Okay, good. Because mine's not
took
brutal.
A little bit to find, though.
I mean, there's
it was very hard to research this.
Small brutal part in it, but it's really more bizarre.
Mine's a brutal story, so okay. We're good.
Right. Okay. We try and be really good. Everybody who's listening, if you ever wonder, we're really good about going, I'm going to do this story, and it's going to be this, and we haven't screwed up yet, knock on wood. So. Okay, well, I am going to be telling a story that is a heist story. Spoiler, it's a heist story. And to go with it, the cocktail I brought is called the Rum Wave Runner. And now that I say it out loud, that's really hard to say.
Yeah,
Rum Wave Runner.
Especially after a couple of them.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to fuck it up. I'm just going to say this cocktail. There you go. This cocktail is made of 2 ounces of Captain Morgan's spiced rum. Although I didn't do Captain Morgan's because I didn't have that. I used a different spiced rum. 2 ounces of spiced rum, 2 ounces of Malibu rum, 5 ounces of pineapple juice, and a splash of cranberry juice. And the steps are just pour everything in a highball glass over ice, stir, and drink.
Nice.
Are you ready to try it?
Yes.
I am ready to try it as well. I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, me too. I don't like rum.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't it's like it.
So sweet.
I like it because it's sweet. The Malibu in it is nice. I don't taste the spice rum at all. I mean, it just made the drink dark. It looks dirty. It looks like dirty water, but... like really, really dirty water. But
yeah.
I don't like water. It. It's a big drink, though. I think I probably could have cut it in half and it would have been just fine.
I cut it in half because I was scared.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have. Okay, so my heist story. Imagine you lost your college dream. You had a dream to go to college. You thought it was going to be this certain way. You also potentially had a dream job that you thought about after college. And then it all was all gone. So you lost your college dream, you lost your dream job after college, and then you ended up addicted to drugs.
Okay. That was definitely not what he was expecting.
Not what you would think would happen, but then when I tell you the story, you'll be like, okay, that makes sense. You start a business, but the business gets torn apart by someone who views you as a competitor. Hard times seem to be everywhere you turn. Would you look for new opportunities? Maybe a little bit outside of the box.
Yeah.
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 I already spoiled it and said it's a heist. So we both love anything heisty.
Yeah.
So, of course. I mean, yeah. So one man had an interesting plan that was definitely out of the norm. We've discussed the infamous case of D.B. Cooper on a podcast, an episode a long time ago. And for those who haven't listened or don't remember who D.B. Cooper is, he was a man who was able to steal thousands of dollars in the early 70s. Essentially, he hijacked an airplane and said, give me a bunch of money and then fly me to Mexico. And then when they were flying over, he jumped out somewhere in Washington State, never to be seen again. And most of his money was never recovered. So he was registered to the seat under the name D.B. Cooper, although that likely was not his real name. And in this heist, it also took place in Washington, which is an odd coincidence. And it involved a unique method of getaway as well. Not a plane this time, much lower tech than that. It was actually an inner tube. And, yep. So it earned the thief the nickname DB Tuber as a result.
Stupid.
Yes. I love that. So let's get into this ridiculously wild story. Anthony Curcio was born and raised in Monroe, Washington. He played football and basketball in high school, but football was his best sport. Ever since he was a young child, he wanted to play at the University of Idaho because that's where his dad went to college. Unfortunately, though, Anthony suffered a career-ending injury to his knee. Even more unfortunate was that he soon became addicted to prescription painkillers, which he had originally been given to deal
for
with
the knee.
Injury.
Yeah. That sucks.
So
that happens to a lot of people.
Yes, that is where the drug addiction part comes in. I mean, he acquired those prescriptions legitimately to begin with, but then it spiraled out of control, which is the basic premise of a lot of people's addiction stories. Mm-hmm. Opioid crisis and all that lovely stuff. His family urged him to seek help, and he completed a rehab program for the drug addiction. Once he completed that, he started a small business that bought and sold casino gaming tables. However, another business owner in the area viewed him as a competitor, and so he basically got Anthony's business shut down because he was claiming that he didn't have the right licenses, and it was all to just get the competition out of the way. So, drug addicted, own a business, business gone, what the fuck now? The turmoil of losing his business led Anthony to relapse, and he started using drugs again, and even forging prescriptions this time. Throughout the years, Anthony completed several drug rehab programs, but he continued using. So he's completing them, but he's still using drugs.
He's cheating.
Again, not a, I mean, it happens, you know, it's not that rare of a thing, unfortunately. But we're not here to talk about the drug addiction. It definitely was a factor, but that's not the entirety of the story. Anthony wasn't a single man going through these hardships. He had a longtime girlfriend, Emily, from high school, and the two got married in 2004. The couple eventually had two children, with the second child being born just before the major events of this story occurred, which we're going to get to in a few minutes. But he's got two little kids at home when this whole shenanigans went down. He started a new business, this time a real estate investment company. Unfortunately, though, the real estate market took a huge dive in 2008, as many people know, and it basically ruined his real estate investment company. So he's back to having no business that is really helping. And he's still using drugs. With his continued drug use, which was estimated to be around $15,000 a month, and now a failing real estate business.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I don't know how many drugs that is, but that's a lot. And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's struggling because of all of these things. And this is where Anthony started looking for other financial opportunities, specifically at a Bank of America in Monroe, Washington. But he wasn't going there to ask for a loan, because then there wouldn't be a story. He methodically watched the bank and the armored truck deliveries for months. He noted the location of the bank cameras and the delivery schedule of the trucks. He noticed where the blind spots were on the armored trucks and estimated how much money was being transported. He realized that he needed an exit strategy. Can't just jump in a car and drive away. So this bank happened to be near Woods Creek, which he decided would be an appropriate getaway method. However, the depth of the creek was proving problematic for his plan. He tried hand dredging the creek to make it deeper. He wanted to use a jet ski as his escape vehicle. Yeah. The creek was too shallow and his efforts at dredging didn't work, which is where the drink comes in, because some people call jet skis wave runners. Mm-hmm. And that's where I chose the drink.
Funny.
So plan B was the inner tube. He strung cables along the creek and he used to pull himself along in the inner tube. The next dilemma he had was how to get the money without drawing too much attention to himself. You know, I mean, you just go steal some money, people are going to notice. So he needed a distraction. Anthony posted a fake job on Craigslist, requesting 15 to 20 workers to help with a city cleanup job a couple of days later. The workers were instructed to dress in a specific manner, wearing jeans, a blue long sleeve shirt, yellow safety vest, work shoes, safety goggles, and a painter's mask. They were to meet in the bank parking lot and stay there until a supervisor arrived. But the job was fake, and it was all meant to be a diversion because Anthony was dressed the same and wearing a wig. When the armored truck driver came out of the bank pushing a cart loaded with cash, it was time for Anthony to start his heist plan. He approached the guard and pepper sprayed him in the face. Allowing Anthony to get the bags of cash, he grabbed two from the now injured guard. He got two bags full of money, ran from the bank parking lot, shedding some of his disguise along the way. So he's throwing his wig and the painter's mask and different things. And he dropped one of the bags. So now he only has one bag. He went to the creek, threw the bag in the inner tube and jumped in. He used the cables to pull himself about 200 yards up the creek and exited on the opposite side of the highway as the bank. He removed the rest of his worker disguise that had been Velcroed to his regular clothes. So he's got his disguise on. He's shed some of it, and now he gets out of the water and he rips the rest of it off because it's just on there with Velcro.
He's like Superman.
Yeah.
Goes into the phone booth and then
without the phone booth. Yeah, he's got an inner tube instead of a phone booth. When police arrived on the scene at the bank, they found several people matching the description of the thief. Because remember, he had orchestrated 15 to 20 people all dressed the same as him.
That's kind of funny.
I love it. The getaway car was nearby, and Anthony managed to flee with around $400,000 in cash, which I normally look up because this was, 2012 or something like that. I didn't look up the conversion, but it's now more than $400,000 worth. But at the time, it was $400,000 worth in cash.
That would only get him about 26 months on his $15,000 drug habit.
True. Good point. Rather than hiding out with his new windfall of cash, he spent quite a bit of it. He bought himself a nice new vehicle, and he took a nice trip to Las Vegas, which he, he wasn't a real nice guy on his trip to Vegas because he cheated on his wife there, and he did some more drugs.
Yeah.
And so about half of the money he left in a friend's safe. While on his trip to Vegas, he realized maybe he should get home to his wife and two young children. Because remember, he had like a toddler and a newborn baby.
Oh, God.
When he's like, I stole a bunch of money and I ran to Vegas and I hooked up with some random chick. And I did see that I don't know if it was a random chick because one of the sources that I saw said it was his teenage girlfriend. I don't know the accuracy of that. I don't know. Either way, he cheated on his wife.
Sucks.
Yeah. Not cool, bro. Don't be an asshole. Again, I think I said that before. Don't be an asshole. What Anthony didn't know was that his meticulous plan had started to unravel, and it happened fairly quickly. On one of his planning trips a couple of weeks prior to the robbery, he had been spotted by a witness hiding some of the disguise and the pepper spray near the bank. So like behind a dumpster, he had put part of his disguise and a giant can of pepper spray. This guy saw him do it and said, I know what you're doing. The witness reported the incident to the police, specifically telling them he thought it was going to be used in a robbery. He was also able to give a police description of Anthony and Anthony's license plate number, because this dipshit did it in his own car.
At least take the plates off. Come on.
Right. Or cover them with mud or something. The information was merely filed at the time because no crime had occurred at that point. He's just, the witness was calling saying, hey, there's some robbery type materials. And they were like, okay, whatever. Once the robbery occurred, investigators realized that the crucial information could lead them to the thief. Using the license plate information from the witness, police followed Anthony and were able to get a sample of his DNA from his discarded trash. They were able to match the DNA from the sample that from that discarded trash, a piece of Anthony's disguise that he had dropped on his way to the creek had DNA on it. So they were able to match it to him. Almost a month after the heist, Anthony was arrested for the crime. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison and was released in 2013. Anthony is still married to his high school sweetheart, who forgave him for being a cheating drug addict. No offense on the drug addict, but I'm not a fan of the cheating part. Now he is a motivational speaker, and he speaks primarily to children and young adults, talking about addiction and the importance of making good life choices. Make good choices.
Jesus.
So the moral of today's story is, one, don't be an asshole, and two, make good choices.
Make good choices. Yep. That's funny.
But I love the nickname DD Tuber.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Mark Middleton.
Okay.
Mark Middleton ran an air conditioning company for decades with his two siblings, but he had his sights set on something bigger. While working at his air conditioning business, Mark enrolled at the University of Arkansas. He was studying law and eventually graduated and passed his bar. After this, Mark was hired by the law firm Michael Williams, Selig, Gates, and Woodyard. He worked as a lawyer for several years until Bill Clinton ran for president. Mark had contributed to Clinton's campaign and in 1992 moved to Washington, D.C. Mac McCarty, who was the chief of staff, which is basically like an assistant for the president,
right.
He hired Mark to raise money in the southern states for Bill Clinton's campaign. Basically, Mark would go around to different businesses and take contributions to the Clinton Foundation.
Okay.
So he raised like, about...
He's like a Girl Scout selling cookies, but not cookies, and taking the money back.
Yeah, pretty much.
The political Girl Scout cookie scam.
Yeah. Except if you don't get any cookies, you just give them money.
Right. No shade on the Girl Scouts. That's not what I meant.
So he raised about $4 to $5 million while working in this position. But as time went on, he got promoted. By 1999, Mark was the special aide and advisor to President Clinton. While his duties were somewhat unknown, it was clear that Mark knew some very powerful people. He would often bring in extremely rich and powerful people to talk with Clinton and come up with a way to help fund the president. One of which was Jeffrey Epstein, who he introduced to Clinton and personally checked into the White House 7 out of the 17 times he visited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our friend. He was everyone's friend.
Yes, he was also on Epstein's flight log, so.
Okay.
Yeah, they were buddies. They were buddies.
All right.
As we all know, Jeffrey Epstein was killed in 2019, which is a very controversial topic. But in 2022, something similar would happen to Mark Middleton. Yes.
Similar just that they died or similar in...
You'll see.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
The conspiracy part. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember now.
On May 7th, 2022... Samantha McElroy, who was a worker on the Heifer Ranch in Perryville, Arkansas, which Bill Clinton was a partial owner in, noticed a BMW sitting on their property. I don't know if you know much about farms, but a BMW SUV is not the ideal farm vehicle.
No.
So Samantha called the police to report the unknown vehicle on their property.
Was it in a weird place?
It was just sitting in, like, I believe it was just sitting in, like, a field.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't in a driveway or anything, yeah.
Okay.
She immediately called the police again after walking around the farm. After she rounded the corner of the cottage, she could see a man sitting by a tree on the property. When she approached, she could see a yellow cord stretching from his neck to a limb on the tree.
Oh.
Yeah. When deputies arrived on scene, they saw Mark's BMW and made their way to the body. Mark Middleton was found with an extension cord wrapped around his neck and stretched upward to a tree limb. Next to his body was a small table he presumably used to stand on and kick out from under himself. This would sound like a normal suicide. However, Mark had a shotgun blast to his chest, but there was no shotgun near him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, super strange. Kind of like Jeffrey Epstein.
Huh.
Also knew Bill Clinton. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
When police searched his vehicle, they found a gun case and shotgun shells, but no shotgun.
But no gun. Well, you know, I mean, what kind of predators... scavengers are there in Arkansas? Maybe, you know, a random like bear walked by and
a bear and just grabbed the shotgun.
I'm using it for self-defense, bro.
a Stoger 12 gauge shotgun was found on the property about 30 feet away in the brush.
Okay,
so that's
threw it.
After shooting himself and hanging himself.
He shot himself. He shot. Okay, I'm going to wait until you give me the rest of the details. Okay.
At around 11 a.m. on May 7th, Mark texted his wife saying, "Going to rest for a while. You are a great mother and wife. Please be happy today and get some sun. It will make you feel better. I love you."
What?
Super weird. Yeah.
Oh, bizarre.
So strange. Yeah.
I mean, if he sent that, okay. If he sent that knowing all he was going to do, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Please get some sun today. It'll make you happy.
I'm thinking, okay.
Ultimately, Mark's death was ruled a suicide and wrapped up.
Sure. Okay.
I don't think it's a suicide. Like Jeffrey Epstein, I don't think it was a suicide.
So he... Do they have any suggestion? Did he shoot himself first or hang himself?
They don't know. They just kind of wrapped the thing up really quickly.
They were like...
They're like, definitely a suicide.
Oh, there's a dead guy. He must have killed himself. Case over. Bye-bye. Okay, so
fucking ridiculous.
If you were going to make the argument, he shot himself, but then hung himself, and then he was twitching and threw the gun.
I think you'd have to hang yourself first. Because I don't think you can do much after a shotgun blast to the chest. I don't think there's much you can do.
Good point. I mean, I was thinking it was like more of a superficial wound. But if
it was a buckshot to the chest, I don't think that's... he'd probably died instantly.
That's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, man. I'm sorry. No shade on Cocoa Puffs. Love you, Cocoa Puffs. Not a sponsor, but if you want to,
so strange.
We're happy to let you sponsor us. Cocoa Puffs. But that's shady as shit, man. That's weird.
Yeah, super weird. Something right there. That's for sure. Whatever Clinton hitman did that needs to work on his skills.
So again, I'm going to go back to the gun was randomly carried off by crows. Crows are weird.
Crows, yeah.
It was the murder of crows came along and they just worked
picked
as a
it up
group.
Together and flew
yes.
away.
They flew away and then decided the one crow was like, hey guys, what are we going to do with a shotgun? And they went, you're right. Let's just drop it here. And so 30 feet away or 30 yards away, whatever it was, yeah. they dropped it. And yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess if you were holding it weird, it could have flown 30 feet away, like when you pull the trigger, but
I don't know.
You'd have to be like on a string or something.
There is a table.
Yeah.
That he was supposedly standing on, but his body was found seated.
Sitting, yeah. Sitting on the tree. So, one, the hanging probably wouldn't have worked. Two, you can't, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't add up.
Okay, so if he was sitting, yeah, people can die from hanging and be sitting. But why would you have a table?
To get into the tree, I guess. Like
to get throw the
get a higher
over
branch.
I don't know.
Oh,
this is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for sure. I don't get it.
Yeah,
it's I'm
so strange.
Sorry. I'm gonna have a really hard time with that until somebody. the shitty thing is, they're not gonna investigate it.
They're too scared.
Yeah. I get it.
I'd be scared.
I definitely want to know what he knew that made them, like, yeah. What did he know?
He probably knew some shit about the Clintons.
He knew some
or
shit.
Or like, because he's Clinton's, like, special advisor. He didn't have, like, a full title. It's just special advisor. That could mean anything.
Yeah, but this was, like, 2 years ago, you said 2022.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening at that time?
I only thing I could think of is the Jeffrey Epstein. Like, I'm sure after all that news stuff broke, he's like, they're like, this guy knows. This guy introduced me to him, so we gotta get rid of him.
We don't know exactly what he knows, but
he's got some dirt on somebody. That's for sure.
It's a good thing I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody.
Powerful.
Good,
yeah.
So I'm good. I know random shit about people that nobody would be like, oh, that's important for me to hide. I'm going to be like, whatever. Yeah. Don't care.
Do you have a chaser?
I do have a chaser, and my chaser is a watch recommendation, which is for the show on Netflix, The Dead Boy Detectives. We recently watched that, and it's about two ghosts who have essentially an afterlife detective agency, and they help they help people figure out how to move on or whatever. And it's a cute little show. The way I make it sound is like it's a kid's show. It's not a kid's show.
That's graphic.
It's not a kid's show because they say some stuff and they do some stuff and you're like, oh, like when you're watching it, they're all like, all the characters are in like late teens and you're thinking, oh, this is like young adult. This is a kid show. It's not a kid show. But it's really good. We liked it. We enjoyed it. And I recommend it. It's a fun little watch.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. What's your chaser?
I also have a watch recommendation. It's Peanut Butter Falcon.
What is that?
It's a Shia LaBeouf movie where this Down syndrome kid breaks out of a retirement home that, like, he's being taken care of at.
Oh,
to try and
care home?
Yeah, he's breaks out of there to try and go to a WWE camp. And Shia LaBeouf is on the run from like the law, basically, and just helps him get to the WWE camp.
Okay, so Shia LaBeouf is not...
No, Shia LaBeouf is not the Down syndrome kid.
Okay. He's just the helper.
Yeah.
Okay. You almost made me spit
It's not an eating Gilbert grape type thing.
I almost spit my drink all over my laptop because I was not expecting you to say that he broke out to go to WWE.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty fitting. They love WWE.
Yeah. All right. That's fun.
Yeah. It's a good movie, though. It's heartwarming and kind of funny.
Peanut Butter Falcon is the name, huh?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it before.
It's pretty good. It's worth the watch.
Okay. Cool. All right. Check it out. Thanks for chatting with me, bud.
Yeah. I enjoyed hearing that story you told.
I know. Yeah, I'm always in for a heist.
Yeah.
This one didn't have high-speed car chases, which both of us love, but...
It's got a water tube, or inner tube.
It's got an inner tube. It was not a high-speed chase, but... Oh, I was going to ask you, because, you know, I'm psycho about BMWs. What kind of BMW was Mark Middleton's BMW that he left in the field?
It didn't clarify. It was an SUV, so I'd probably say X5.
X5 or X3, maybe.
Probably.
Could have been an X1. Maybe an X6. I don't know. Okay.
If you got money, bet you he's getting that big X5. He's getting the cream of the crop. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.